In the name of your Son, Jesus, we magnify your name and we praise you. You're great and greatly to be praised. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great congregation of people, even those that are watching by way of TV. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father God, that you call us mighty men and mighty women. We thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father God, for the Word today. And I pray, Father God, that this Word stirs them even more than it has me, Father, in the name of Jesus, ever since Monday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. Father, I thank you and I praise you that we have ears to hear. Father, that we have eyes to see, hearts to receive the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that we're open unto you, Father God, that we're your habitation for your Spirit to come and dwell in. So we ask you to come and tabernacle with us. Come and live in us. Manifest yourself through us, Father God. We thank you again. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See the first two words up there? Awake. Awake. Are you alive? Do you see it? 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up, and that was the two words that He gave me. And then as time and the day went on, this is what it sounds like. Awake! Awake! Awake, you mighty men and women of God! Awake, you mighty men of God! Awake, church! Awake! 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Awake! Come on. Amen. You was getting into it. You was in my message, brother. I was going to say, go ahead and preach it. Hallelujah. Awake. Awake. Hallelujah. All right, we'll leave that there just for a minute. You can be seated. It would have been a good time to shout. It would have been a good time, whether you feel like it or not, or whether you see God working or not. Whether you feel Him working or not, it'd be a good time to stir yourself up. Amen? Hallelujah. This word has absolutely turned me upside down. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Isaiah 52, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified. They're probably going to show it in the King James Version. This has to do with Israel. And of course, you know everything that's going on over there. But it also has some implications to the church, especially when you see the word Zion. Amen. We've been called to assist Israel. They're the firstborn. Amen. And we are called, engrafted into the body. So like Pastor preached Sunday, we are Jews inwardly. Amen. So when that body is attacked, we're attacked. So let's listen. I pray that this word encourages you and stirs you up. It says, awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion, O church. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Arise, sit erect in a dignified place. O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck. O captive daughter of Zion. This ought to encourage every single one of us. Amen. If you're listening to the news today, you're listening to the wrong source. Everything on there is nothing but doom, gloom, despair, and agony on them, not me. Amen. So you need to stir yourself up. You need to see, as Isaiah prophesies this, you need to see yourself in this. We need to see ourselves in it. As the word that God had me to release, He says that we are a mighty body, a mighty men and women of God. He's called, He's anointed us. Amen. So verse 3 says, for thus saith the Lord, talking about Israel, you were sold for nothing. You shall be redeemed down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there. And many years later, Sennacherib, the Assyrian, oppressed them for nothing. Now, I delivered you from Israel and Assyria. It's all about death and slavery. It's all about my hand that I'm getting at. Amen. So it will fall. So be a butcher. You've got to be ready to keep in mind. God's back. So they're in his church back. Awake. It's like an urgency. Amen. It's like sound the alarm. Amen. So, therefore my people shall know. Oh, I went to the wrong place. I went to 53. Verse 6 in 52. Therefore my people. Nope, I'm in the right place. Amplified. I'm excited, I'm telling you. This has stirred me from the inside out. And I just asked the Lord, I said, help me be able to minister, teach, preach, prophesy, whatever you want done. Words that would edify us, that words that would stir us up and wake us up to see that we're more than just a social gathering on Wednesdays and Sundays. Amen. So therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks, behold, I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings to the church, who says Israel, who says, come on, you're God's hands. It may not look like it, press it under, in darkness, but verse 8 says, hearts are hardened. And the prophet speaking that day, and he's his prophets, and they're speaking now, and they're in his direction, here, word, amen. So you watch with your voices, together with Zion, break forth joyfully, sing together to you, what is of Jerusalem, for the Lord Jerusalem is not going to fall. It's Jerusalem forever. They the enemies, be served by wrath, but the eyes of all nations. Revealing himself as one of the whose direction the redemption of Israel from a captivity is accomplished. And all the ends of the earth shall witness the salvation of our God. And it looked like from the world's temple, God's government, go out from there, the lands of Babylon. Change yourself, and be clean. Be out with haste. Nor will you out in fight, and the Lord God of Israel will be rebuilt. You know what I'm saying? They may say that I don't want to be a victorious director, it's going to be a victorious event. It's not one of fear. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely and shall prosper. For any servant of God came up before, his whole appearance were marred more than any man that is before were son unto him. So shall he startle and sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which has not, that they have not heard, shall they consider and understand. This is the prophetic word from Isaiah 52. As I've been studying, as I've been praying on this, like I said, the Lord has given me a lot of information, and I just want to assimilate through it and hit some high spots, hit the spots that God wants me to hit. So one of the things that he told me was to go back to the message that I ministered on, I think it was in August the 16th, to prepare ye the way. And to prepare me a habitation. Now, as I'm going through this and as God's dealing with me in this message, I keep hearing the words, and these words are urgent. Awake, awake. Prepare, prepare. Occupy, occupy. I want you to pay attention to these words. We'll give the definitions here in a minute. Let's just do it now. Amen. The word awake means to stir oneself up. It means to become active, aware, to get up, to be conscious, to arouse yourself. Now you do that in the Word. Amen. The word prepare is to get into a proper state of mindset, have the right mindset. It means to make ready beforehand for some purpose, some use, or some event. It means to plan in advance. So God's telling us to awake, to prepare, and then this last word is occupy, and there's a big definition, but I like the other definition in Luke 19:13, and it's talking about, and you might be able to put that up, Luke 19:13. It's a century to receive himself a kingdom, and he releases his servants with some money, and he says, occupy till I come. Other translation says, do my business till I come. Do business for me till I come. So until we're raptured out, we've got to occupy. We've got to stay awake. We've got to stay alert. We've got to be prepared. And hopefully we'll get into some of the ways that we can do that. But here's the word that God gave me on August the 16th. He actually gave it to me on the 15th, again at 3 o'clock in the morning. God always wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning for some reason. But he says, this is what the Lord has to say to us for this time and our time. How many of you are alive? Well, guess what? This is your time. This is our time. Amen. With each passing day, we are coming closer and closer to the return of the Lord, to the catching away, to the rapture of the church, scheduled on my timeline, not mine and yours, his timeline. And he says, whether this event happens now, in the present, or the next 100 years, you must be ready and prepare. Listen to how many times the word prepare and occupy comes out of this. It says, we must be ready and prepare the way of the Lord. See, I think that's what's happened here in the church. The church has taken a back seat to the world. They've not seen themselves yet. They still have that mentality that they're still that same old man. As a matter of fact, they make all their decisions based on the old man instead of the new creation man. So there's a mindset that God puts forth, and he says we have the mind of Christ. So when you start thinking in line with your new creation, and you start putting things in proper perspective to where that you're no longer that person, in February 4th, 1974, the old Rick McKenzie died, and the old Debbie McKenzie died. But there was a new Rick and Debbie McKenzie that was born again, recreated. So our life starts at that point, and from that point, you've got to start taking yourself serious as a new creation, as a God-called man or woman, a mighty man or woman of God. Whether you're 60 years old, 6 years old, 80 years old. And see, I thought I was going to minister on longevity and the promises of long life, but the Lord says, no, I want you to do this. But he says, we must be ready and prepare the way of the Lord. Christ is coming. Coming for his, listen to this, his glorious bride with lamps trimmed and burning, carrying extra oil. Amen. So that's just not a one-shot deal like he was saying there a while ago. You get born again and that's it. No, you press on in and go with the Word, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then you continue to be refreshed and keep getting more and more refreshed in the Word of God, in the Spirit of the Lord. And he says he's coming back after a glorious bride with lamps trimmed, burning, and carrying extra oil. The extra oil, what's that for? I said it the last time. What if he does delay? What if it's not when you or when I think that it is? You need to have that Spirit burning on the inside of you. You need to have the Holy Ghost stirring on the inside of you. And then you need to stir yourself in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And he says, be prepared, not for the escape, but for the celebration. Your race is not a 100-yard dash, but more like a marathon. So prepare to race to win. I think a lot of the church has already given up and have already stuck their head in the sand, getting their butt kicked, and saying, come and get me. Amen. God's going to come and get us. He's going to look over at his son and say, go get your bride. But in between now and that time, and we don't know that time. Does anybody know the time? Let me see your hands if you know the time. I don't know the time. Jesus don't know the time. But this is our time. This is our time to prepare here, to work here, to assist our man and woman of God here. Amen. Because they get the orders from headquarters, and we get the orders from this headquarters. Amen. So we are in conjunction working together with each other. We are a corporation of God's for his Holy Spirit to dwell in. So we need to let the Holy Spirit loose. Amen. We need to come to church ready to praise God whether we feel like it or not, even if we got aches and pains in our bodies because we fell off a ladder. I've done that. I stepped off the ceiling or the roof onto a 10-foot stepladder and ended up breaking Tina and Jeremy's stepladder, knocking myself out. But hey, look at me now. Take that, devil. You didn't win that battle. You didn't win the battle of cancer. You're not going to win any battle. Amen. So, it's to prepare for a celebration. It's to prepare race to win. Be ready for a marathon. And prepare me a habitation with a winner's mentality. We don't need no minner mentality. They get used up as bait. Just ask Pastor and Scotty. So, a winner's mentality. Hallelujah. Not a loser's, you know. Not one that just, I don't know about you, but I never did want to sit on the sidelines. I did anyway. I wasn't the starting five, but when I got in, I made the difference. So, it's like, put me in, coach. Well, guess what? We've been put in. We've been put in. God's put us in the game. And there's, so to speak, flesh in the game. It's called Jesus. It's called Jerusalem, Israel. It's called the church. And it's called the United States of America. And it's called the future for our children and our children's children. I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave the devil in control of an earth or anything that's in the earth with my grandson and maybe his sons growing up. Amen. I want to leave them a legacy and a heritage for them to follow, one of victory, one of faith, not one of fear. So he says, with a winner's mentality that I might show myself through. Now that's what God wants to do. That's what I've prepared you for. Amen. So, to show my glory, prepare and occupy till I come. Do my business. What is that business? Well, we're going to learn some. We've been learning it here already, but we're going to go over some of it. Amen. The rest of that was, the time for just a social gathering called church is over. Like I said, the church has been put in. It's time to activate. It's time to engage. It's time to stir ourselves up and wake ourselves up and take the opportunity that we have when we come through those doors to be glorified, to receive the Spirit of God, to put into the service. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit in operation. Amen. Miracles, signs, and wonders accompanying the Word. I said before that a habitation is that you make and prepare room for whoever's coming to stay eternally. Not for some family member that's just coming to visit. That way you don't have to do a whole lot. You just spruce it up and say, okay, they'll be gone in a couple of days. But no, God's here to stay. Jesus is here to stay. So I want my habitation, this temple here, the church. Amen. So God's called us. I said the church at New Generation has an assignment. We've been called, anointed, and appointed to impact this area. And it's time to get to it. That was the word from August the 16th. Amen. So, having said that, I've already gave you the definitions, a couple of statements, and then I want to read some more. Is this stirring you all up? Either shake your head yes or no. I know it is, because it's God. I'm telling you, we need to get into our secret places at home. You know, strong families make strong churches. Amen. So prayer is part of the preparation. That's how the Holy Spirit's going to work. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to reveal the things that are freely given to you. He's going to teach you, lead you, guide you, direct you. He's going to be an advocate, you know, a lawyer. When the devil accuses you, you're going to go into the court of God and say, hey, nope, they repented, or nope, you're wrong, they're right. Amen. But God's wanting to show the church, even in this area. I've been saying it every time I pass here and even at home in my prayer. I'm calling pastors Mike and Annette Jeremiah 3:15, pastors, and that this church is a holy habitation, a God portal, where the Spirit of the Lord is at work. Especially, you know, in our homes, we want the Spirit of the Lord there working. We want to see miracles, signs, and workings there. And you mentioned this a while ago about a corporate anointing. When one could put 1,000 to flight, and two could put 10,000 to flight, and three can put, somebody else do the math besides me, it's exponentially increased. But when we come in this house, under the leadership of our pastors, under the headship of the Holy Spirit, and we release ourselves into this service, and not worry about what other people think about us, the person beside of us, or our neighbors think about us, but we are a vessel for God to live in, dwell in, and to work through, and get over our fear of failing. Take this word out. Go lay hands on the sick. That's your job. For them to recover is the person in God's job. Amen. So we have a job. We have a mandate to do. So again, here's one statement that he gave me. He says, if you are not advancing, or if we're not advancing, moving forward, taking ground, then you or we are going backwards. We're losing ground. Amen. And then it says, the fifth statement was, we must change the atmosphere from this social gathering mentality to a spiritually charged atmosphere of expectancy. We've all said it before. We went to Warrior, Alabama, to Church International. We went to Nashville, Tennessee, to Kent Christmas. But we went with an expectancy. I come here to New Generation Church every service. Rick, you're a liar. No, I'm not lying. I'm telling you, I come here with an expectancy every service to see miracle signs and wonders. I pray that we align with God, that it's not about our will. It's not about our way. It's not about our agenda. It's His agenda. We've been called to it. We've talked about utilizing our time more. Away from our hobbies, away from our work, outside of that, and put God first. And really put God first. At your home, put God first, you know. Individual families need to take time. Make time. There's time. The time's there. You just got to make the time. We put other things in those categories or in that time slot, but there's something more important that we can put in a particular time slot, and that's the Word of God, prayer, and saying, okay, God, I want you more than I want to watch NASCAR. I want you, amen, more than I want to wash my car. I want you, Lord. I got to have you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm thirsting for God. Back in 1986, Debbie and I made a commitment. We had an opportunity to go to Toyota, be one of the first 100 people hired there. I might have said this before. I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. But we had just got over into the Word of Faith and was getting established into the Word of Faith. I didn't know any churches in that area. So we went to the Lord together and we prayed. And we asked God, said, this is a wonderful thing. This is something that we've been praying for. But Father, we want you more. And we put this into you, you know, it's a prayer of consecration. What's your will? So we got up, I went back to work, she went back to work, and on my way back to work, I called and told her, we talked about it later, but I said, the Spirit of the Lord just told me, he said, I would have you to stay and be a part of the work that I have to do in this area, and I'll bless you and your family. So that's what I'm staying around for. That's what I'm hanging around for. Amen. I believe this is the church. I believe these are the pastors. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe we're the congregation to do it, but it's going to have a change of our mindset, a change of our attitude. When we come in here and, you know, even if they get off, I don't know whether they're off or not, because I clap. I'm not on time as far as musically inclined, but Listen, shut your eyes. Dance if you want to dance. They've told you that before. Shout. Run the aisles. I mean, this is our time. What you're doing is you're putting the body in place, or you're putting the body into the hands of God. You're releasing that to Him. These are some of the ways that I'm telling you that we can change the atmosphere here. And instead of coming back there together and gathering up in little groups and maybe doing little business things, or, you know, what do they call that when you connect up? What's that word? Huh? No. Well, no, I'm not necessarily talking about cliques. I'm talking about it's to prosper yourself, and you hit little groups here and there. Amen. But enough about that. I'm just saying that there's time for all that. But when we come here, when we come into this property, our mind, our heart should be, God, what are you going to do today? And what can I do to help propel that? What can I do to help pastors? What can I do to help the praise team? What can I do here to invoke or to welcome the Holy Spirit? What can I do to be a participator and not just a spectator? And most of the time, that's just what some of us are, spectators. Some of you think that you're too old to do something, but you're not. Be a participator. Amen. At Church International, we've seen people from all shapes, sizes, all colors. Prophet Robin calls them the speckled and the spotted. We've seen them with tattoos. We've seen them with nose rings. We've seen them with purple hair. We've seen them with tutus on. We've seen them dressed to the hilt. We've seen them dressed in blue jeans. We've seen them dressed. The thing about it is, they were different ages and different sizes, but they were hungry for God. God wants to do the same thing here. Amen. He wants us to reach this community. He says we have a mandate to affect this area. And it's good that we come to church. We need that. We need each other. Amen. We need the presence of God. We need the power of God. But we need you at your best. One right. Serious. We need you at your top, utmost best, giving your all. Everything to the excellency of God. Nothing held back. Nothing barred. I belong to you. We've been bought with the price of the blood. Father, we are yours to command. Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? If you want me to stand there like a statue, I'll stand there like a statue. If you want me to get up here and run in front of that congregation and say, awake! 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 I don't care how funny I look. I am sounding an alarm in the spirit. Pastor is sounding an alarm in the spirit. These singers are sounding an alarm in the spirit. So from there back this way, we need to sound the alarm in the spirit. A lot of our cries, a lot of our spirit, I mean a lot of our, no, I won't say screaming, that's not the right word, but our yells of victory, it's, what was that? It's shout, it's not a shout of a lion. What was it? A roar. We've got the roar of a lion, and not only in our heart, but in our voice. Amen. So, we must change the atmosphere. Now, before I quit, I want to read Isaiah 60. This is the prophet Isaiah. Amen. He's still prophesying. Arise and shine. I'll read this probably from the King James. Verse 1. For the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Say, the glory of the Lord is risen on me. The light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen on me. And I want to rise in that glory. So, for behold, verse 2, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is coming. Lift up your eyes round about, and see all they that gather themselves together. They come to thee. Your sons shall come from afar off, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And you shall see them flow together, and your heart shall be enlarged because of the excitement and the abundance of peace, because your prodigals are coming home. Has anybody got any lost people out there?
Amen.
Amen. And he goes ahead to say, the forces of the Gentile shall come unto thee. That in another translation says the riches of the Gentiles. You're talking about wealth transfer. And it talks about the multitude of camels shall cover thee. And I'll skip the next. But when back in the Old Testament times, when there was a traveling caravan of camels, they carried treasure. And they brought them in to different kingdoms to bless the king of the king they was going to see. So, going down to verse 7, about halfway through, it says, they shall come up with the acceptance of my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. That's us. That's the church. That's Zion. That's Israel. That's Jerusalem. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves of their window? Surely the isle shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. The sons of the strangers shall build up, the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls. Their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continuously. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and the king that will not serve you shall perish. These people that have attacked Israel, those countries, they poke their eye or their finger in God's eye, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. This prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Some of it. No, not some of it. All of it. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. Amen. Going down to verse 14. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken, and thou hast no man, and no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency of joy for many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And it's talking about their prosperity and their wealth. It says, and thou shalt know that I the Lord am the Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, for wood brass, for stones I will bring iron. I will make thy officers peace, and thine extractors, righteousness. Amen. I want to drop down to verse 20. It says, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten at this time to do it. Chapter 61, and this will be the last one I read. This is Isaiah prophecies. This is the time we're in today. You heard Jesus say this part, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and qualified me to preach the gospel, to the poor, good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this is where Jesus stopped in Luke 4. But there's another part of that. And I'm going to start reading from the Amplified again. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament of garment, a garland of diadem, of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of excessive praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the trees of righteousness, King James says, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So this is talking about the coming glory. And verse 4 says, and they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. And it says, aliens or strangers shall stand ready and feed your flocks. Verse 6, but you shall be called the priest of the Lord. People shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations and the glory once that of your captives shall be yours. Wealth transfer. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense, double for your trouble. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in your portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess the double, what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. And see, that's what recompense is. It's not revenge. Revenge is born out of hate. Amen. Vengeance is born out of God's love of justice. It is system of seed, plant, and harvest, which is the government of God. Remember, the sower went out to sow the seed, sowed some in this ground. That's how the kingdom of God operates. So the recompense that He's bringing to the evil in this world is because of the evil that they've sown, S-O-W-E-N, and on behalf of Israel and the church, how that they have poked the finger in God's eyes. He says that He will faithfully give them their recompense in truth and will make an everlasting covenant. Their offspring, listen to this, shall be known among the nations and their descendants among the people. And all who see them in their prosperity will recognize and acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. Going down to verse 11, and I will finish with this one. For as surely as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring forth, so surely the Lord God will cause righteousness and justice and praise to spring forth before all nations through the self-fulfilling power of His words. Amen. Righteousness springing forth before all nations. We're not there yet. We're getting there. It's coming. Occupy. Be ready. Awake, awake. Prepare. Get yourself ready. If you ain't ready, get ready. Prepare, prepare. Occupy, do His business. So let's come together as a body of believers for God's business in this area. Joshua and Caleb said when God sent them in along with the other 10 spies to spy out the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they came back, those 10 come back with the evil report. Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able. So that needs to be our mentality. We are well able. We are well able. But I like what the Lord said at the beginning. Lift up yourself. Arise. Let's be what God's called us to be. Amen. I love you. I bless God for you. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. And